rightfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Pariksit, to whom Shukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. So please repeat after me. We all respectfully want to hear about him.
We all respectfully want to hear about him.
Maharaj Pariksit.
Maharaj Pariksit.
To whom Shukadeva Goswami,
to whom Shukadeva Goswami
imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter.
Please speak on this matter.
Okay, again, I want to have a special welcome for any devotees that are new to our Sangha. And if everybody could please mute at this time while I speak for a few minutes about this verse, and then at the end we'll invite everybody to come in again for questions or comments. So I'm going to go ahead and mute all of you on free conferencing. Just give me one moment. And everybody else, go ahead and mute yourselves. Okay. Okay, there we go. Okay, so, tad idam shrotum ichamo gaditum gadimanyase. Oops, I'm sorry, I didn't read the purport too. Purport. Purport. Shukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Pariksit during the remaining 7 days of his life, and Maharaj Pariksit heard him properly, just like an ardent student. The effect of such bona fide hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared both by both the hearer and the chanter. Both of them were benefited. Out of the 9 different transcendental means of devotional service to the Lord prescribed in the Bhagavatam, either all of them or some of them or even one of them are equally beneficial if properly discharged. Maharaj Pariksit and Shukadeva Goswami were serious performers of the first 2 important items, namely the process of chanting and the process of hearing, and therefore both of them were successful in their laudable attempt. Transcendental realization is attained by such serious hearing and chanting and not otherwise. There is a type of spiritual master and disciple much advertised in this age of Kali. It is said that the master injects spiritual force into the disciple by an electric current generated by the master, and the disciple begins to feel the shock. He becomes unconscious, and the master weeps for his store of so-called spiritual assets. Such bogus advertisement is going on in this age, and the poor common man is becoming the victim of such advertisement. We do not find such folk tales in the dealings of Shukadeva Goswami and his great disciple Maharaj Pariksit. The sage recited Srimad Bhagavatam in devotion, and the great king heard him properly. The king did not feel any shock of electrical current from the master, nor did he become unconscious while receiving knowledge from the master. One should not, therefore, become a victim of these unauthorized advertisements made by some bogus representative of Vedic knowledge. The sages of Naimisharanya were very respectful in hearing about Maharaj Pariksit because of his receiving knowledge from Shukadeva Goswami by means of ardent hearing. Ardent hearing from the bona fide master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge, and there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Tadidam Shrochumichamo Gaditum Yadimanyase Bruhina Shradadananam Yasya Gyanam Yadachchukaha. We all respectfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Shukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. Okay, so in the purport, Srila Prabhupada states that ardent hearing from a bona fide spiritual master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge, and there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. Here in Hawaii, even on the Big Island, there's some branches, but especially strong over on the island of Oahu, where most population is. There's a church which is called Word of Life, and it's a very big church. They have branches that have gone all over the world, but I believe they started here. And especially one devotee would tell me, you really got to go there to check these guys out because they're so effective in their preaching. So finally I went there. They greet you at the door. They give you, you know, some pamphlets. You know, they treat you really nice. You know, they sit you down. There's a big auditorium. They have hundreds of people, and there's a large stage. And then this fellow comes out. I don't remember what his name is, but he's the main guy that started this church, he and his wife. So he spoke, went through different announcement, stuff like that. And then the last thing that he did, this is before he ever gave his sermon, but after like their announcements, they invited all the new preachers that were going to go out to new places around the world. There was some couples that were going to open a new branch in Japan, these young girls, and then he was going to give them the power of Jesus to preach. So he very intensely started praying to Jesus, and they all held hands in a circle on the stage, about a dozen of them, and he started infusing them with the life of Jesus, with the power of Jesus' name, and they got an electric shock. You could see it. It was literally like that. One time I went to Disneyland, there's this thing you hold and you get an electric shock, you know, and anybody that you're holding hands with also gets this electric shock. And it just like freezes your whole body, you like go into convulsions. So that's what was happening to them. And I could see it was real. I don't know if he had a trick, you know, something coming through his palms or something, whatever, but they actually got an electric shock. And everyone was like awestruck, like the power of Jesus. And then after that, they all left, and people were crying and stuff, and they saw this thing. And then after that, he gave his lecture, you know, on a passage from the Bible. When he spoke, it wasn't much. I wasn't really impressed. The most impressive thing was the show. Anyway, they have thousands of followers. So I wasn't really impressed, other than they were very well organized. So we could learn something from that. But Srila Prabhupada is stressing that we should not be confused about what is spiritual life, not the bogus spiritualism. There's so many isms in this world. So another type of ism is spiritualism. I mentioned before when I was quite young, before I ever became a devotee, maybe even before I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, there was this Guru Maharajji, and I read an article by Rini Davis, how he had this boy guru who was an incarnation of God. He was an incarnation of Krishna and Buddha and all the other incarnations, and his right-hand man was an incarnation of Jesus. And when this Rini Davis, he was a big follower back in the 60s, had quite a big following in the 70s. Anyway, he said that when he touched him, he pressed his eyes and he saw lights in his eyes. And then all of a sudden, when he opened his eyes, he saw thousands of, I think he said pink elephants. Maybe, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't pink elephants. It was white elephants. White elephants that were flying with wings. And I was thinking, I was a 14-year-old kid, you know. When I read this, I was thinking, wow, I got to go check this out. Oh, boy, that's what happens with intoxication high school. That's what the education you get in this country is. But anyway, so, and then also Baba Ram Dass, you know his history, right? When you read that book, Be Here Now, this was the next book I got, Be Here Now, how his guru, he went to India and he met this guru, and he gave his guru some LSD, and he gave him enough that would probably make somebody absolutely mad, you know, whatever that quantity was. And he said the guru thought it was vitamins, and he asked for more. So he's saying, wow, he's so spiritual. So these are what would be classified as occult mysticism. Also in Radhanath's book, he mentions basically magic tricks. You know, what we don't understand, we call magic. So in Radhanath Swami's book, he mentioned that he was with some meditators, Shivites, and all of a sudden, while he was with them meditating at night, they started levitating out of nowhere. So he saw that himself. And then there was another time that he was with some people in Afghanistan, and they were, one of those Middle East countries, and they were smoking hashish. And out of the walls, you know, he saw all kinds of demonesses and stuff coming out. So through intoxication, or through controlling your mind, you know, you see all these things. There was another time he mentioned that one fellow, he took an iron bar, like rebar or something, and put it in his eye socket and just pressed with his eye against the rebar and bent it with his eyeball. And everyone goes, whoa, he's got to be spiritual. So these are all tricks or occult mysticism. Oh, here's another example. Russell G, he was saying that when he was in India, he was walking along the beach and there was straws coming out of the sand, and those were yogis that had buried themselves in the sand. There was another devotee, his name is Brijendralal. He's now deceased. He's left this world, but he was married to Mukhya, who's a temple president in Alachua right now, but I used to be very good friends with him, Brijendralal. And he said when he was in India, there he came across a yak who started speaking to him and telling him all kinds of spiritual instructions. You know, they were Mayavadis. And he was afraid to tell anybody because nobody would believe him. But then the friend that he went to, this was in Nepal, the friend that he went to was traveling with, he was like really worried, and then he revealed to me, he said, look, I'm going to tell you something. It's really crazy. You're not going to believe me. But I met a yak that told me this and this and this. He said, oh, no, I met a yak, too, that told me this and this. But he told him completely contrary instructions. Anyway, he used to joke about that. He said he met a yak that yacked. But anyway, so there's all of these. Oh, here's one more last example. I remember when I was really young, I was going through a National Geographic, and they showed all these different yogis from Kumbh Mela. And there was one yogi that, you know, this you see sometimes Nataraj, Lord Shiva dancing, doing his dance for the destruction of the universe, and there's an effulgence around him, like with rays coming out. There's this one yogi that had spikes going all the way through his body, and he was holding up this huge, very heavy metal effulgence, and, you know, he had these mystic powers. So these kind of things, when people see them, they think, this is spiritual. That is not spiritual. These are simply tricks, mystic powers, severe austerities, and people nowadays can be very much bewildered by them. If you ever talk to especially those that have been contaminated by impersonalism, by Mayavadi philosophy, they very much value this, and they think that they're very spiritual. Or miracles, you know, like there's all Edgar Cayce. He would be able to cure people through the telephone. And there are people that can do that through the television, telephone, or simply by thinking they can cure somebody. There was one devotee that told me when he was in India, he was suffering from jaundice. And he went to one in Vrindavan, actually. It was to a Kaviraj. And he cured him. The way he did this was he chanted mantras. He threw dust on him. He circled around him, and he took the feathers of a peacock bunched together, and he slapped him with the peacock feathers. And he cured him from jaundice. So for anybody that's not acquainted with whatever science of medicine he was using, that would be magic, or that would be spiritualism. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here that ardent hearing from the bona fide spiritual master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge. That statement is pregnant with meaning, and there is no need for mechanical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. So two things are here. There's ardent hearing and the bona fide master, spiritual master, or representative of the spiritual master. Here, also in the purport, it's Srila Prabhupada says that Shukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Parikshit during the remaining 7 days of his life, and Maharaj Parikshit heard him properly. So what does that mean, hearing him properly? First of all, Maharaj Parikshit, he knew that he had 7 days to live. So if we knew when we were going to die, we also would be, or we should be, very, very concerned about our spiritual life. I'm just thinking, when the Titanic sunk, and those that were in the boats were looking at the people that were going down, they saw them at the last moments of their life, just before it was going into the water. People started taking off their clothes, drinking, partying, having sexual intercourse right there in the freezing weather in front of everybody to get their last moments of enjoyment before death. When I used to belong to a multi-level marketing organization called, part of Amway, they would fire you up during these rallies, and they told one story about a woman that had gotten, actually it was the man who was explaining this. His wife had contracted, I think it was cancer. Anyway, deadly disease. She was in the hospital on her deathbed. And as she was dying, she was still selling vitamins to the nurse. So if we don't know what is the purpose of life, even at the moment of death, we won't know what to do. But we know what to do. So if we had 7 days to live, we knew that we were going to die in 7 days. As devotees, we, if we had any sanity, would drop everything we had going in our life and simply concentrate on making our life perfect. But Srila Prabhupada stresses that what does death mean? Death means is for those that are old. Old means those that are just about to die. How do we know when we're going to die? Of course, I myself, I am definitely approaching old age. I'm in my mid-50s, so I really feel, you know, the mind starting to get cloudy, the body starting to fall apart, the health is going down, you know, all those symptoms, don't have the energy. So death is knocking on the door, you know, it's coming. It's one of the benefits of old age for devotees is that, you know, you finally got notice. Now, if not in your younger days, now get serious. But actually, every person, whether he's young or he's old, doesn't know when he's going to die. Maharaj Pariksit knew 7 days, so therefore he was very serious about hearing. However, none of us know when we're going to die. The first time that I came in contact with an untimely death was when, I must have been probably 7 or 8 years old. My sister had a boyfriend, and he was riding a motorcycle with my other sister's boyfriend. They were both friends. And he wasn't paying attention to what he was doing. He hit the curb head on. He flew off the motorcycle without a helmet and hit head first on the pavement, cracked his head open, and immediately, instantly died. And I remember how earth-shattering that was to my sister. I mean, she's absolutely lost it, crying like that. And I was just shocked. Like, how death comes so quickly, unexpectedly. There was another time recently, it was like a few years ago, I guess 5 years back, I was resident manager in one apartment complex, and there was this boy that I would take to school pretty regularly, you know, every other day. He was a favorite to one of the neighbors. And one day I didn't... he was late for school, so he ran to go get the bus, and he had to cross the street to go get the bus, and he ran across a busy street, and bam, we heard it like across the park. This is thud, and that was him getting hit by a car at like 40 miles an hour, and he died instantly. When he got hit, his father tried to... donate his body for, you know, medical purposes, and they said they couldn't use any of it because every bone and organ in his body was completely useless, smashed like mush. So you can imagine what that was for the parents, how absolutely devastated they were. And I was thinking, you know, within just a moment, any one of us, whether young, this boy was like 9 years old, and he died instantly. So that's what happens. And I myself, a few years ago, like 10 years ago, I was driving back from our restaurant that we owned. Actually, it's more like 15 years ago anyway. And I fell asleep at the wheel. And all I remember is I was driving home really tired from my restaurant. The next thing I knew, I woke up in a hospital. And I was very close to getting killed. I ran off the road, the car turned over, my head fell out the door window, and I was being dragged across for several hundred feet. You know, it completely opened up my skull. So I survived it, but I could have died just then. And no one has any idea. We may walk out any moment. So we should be very, very serious about hearing properly this transcendental knowledge. That is how it is transmitted. Here Srila Prabhupada uses the word ardent. Maharaj Pariksit was an ardent student. Ardent is a word from Latin, ardor, which means heat, burning. It comes from another root word, which is aridus, which means dry, where we get the word arid. So it means a burning desire for something. That's ardent. So one should ardently hear. When Srila Prabhupada was initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that, yes, I will accept this boy. He hears very nicely. I have noted it. There was an instance when Srila Prabhupada was listening to his Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking, and then there was one fellow that tapped him or leaned over and said something to him. He doesn't even know what he said. He just started saying something. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta stopped his lecture and chastised Srila Prabhupada and said something to the effect of, Babu, so you think that just because you give donations that I owe something to you? I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact thing he said, but it was something to the effect that why are you not hearing? Maybe it's during the break, somebody can fill in the missing pieces here. But he chastised him because for a moment his attention was diverted. That's the point. Even I was thinking that perhaps Srila Bhaktisiddhanta may have even seen that this other fellow had just interrupted Prabhupada. It wasn't Srila Prabhupada's fault. But still, he chastised him to emphasize the point of how important it is to hear from the spiritual master with ardent listening. So, and then Srila Prabhupada says that this process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result. I think that's such an important sentence, that the process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result. Srila Prabhupada often would use these two words. One has to be sincere and serious in spiritual life. That is the test of one who is serious. The test of one who is serious is that one must follow the orders of the instructor, of the spiritual master. A disciple means that he voluntarily accepts discipline. So that's what we have to do, is that we have to follow the orders of our spiritual master very, very strictly. That means that we have heard and we're sincere. Just as in previous ages, we read about great devotees or great mystics, they perform a severe austerity. It was said that of Devaki and Vasudeva that they perform for thousands of years severe austerities, as Sutapa and Prishni and Sutapa. They would perform severe austerities, only taking the dried leaves of trees that have fallen to the ground, curtailing all bodily pleasures in heat and cold, simply to get a darshan of the Supreme Lord, to ask him for the benediction of having a child like him. Of course, Krishna fulfilled the desires by saying that there is no one that can be like me, so I shall become your son. So we can see the descriptions are there in the shastras of the associates of the Lord, how for millions of births, they performed austerities, severe austerities, to get the association of the Lord. But Srila Prabhupada is saying here that the process is simple, but simply one has to be sincere. So that, for us, that simplicity is simply by hearing, giving our ardent hearing to hearing this message of the Bhagavatam. And we should try to be bona fide representatives of our spiritual master. So ardent hearing and representing our spiritual master in a bona fide way. And then lastly, I'll close with this. This is one of my favorite verses from the Bhagavatam. This is Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse 25. To sum up ardent hearing, I'm sure everybody must know this one. Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata yajyojanat aspavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anu kramashyati. So what that means is satang prasango, by the association or in the association of sadhus, of saintly persons, of other devotees of the Lord, mama virya sangvido, if one hears about my glorious activities in their association, mama virya, virya is no one can imitate the activities of the personality of Godhead, the astonishing, attractive, wonderful activities of the Lord. If one sangvida, if he discusses amongst the devotees, then bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata, it becomes very, very pleasing to the heart of the devotee. He develops a taste within his heart. He feels this rasayana kata, this pleasing experience of hearing rasayana kata, and that tat yojanat, by cultivation of this such hearing, then ashru apavarga, that one, the first thing is he gets liberation from the miseries of this world, apavarga, ashru, very quickly, and vartmani, on this path, shraddha, with faith, just like we're reading in this verse, bruhina shraddhadanana, with faith, ardent hearing, with great respect. If one does this, then one after another, ratim, he gets attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktir anu kramashati. So it follows one after the other like that. So if we simply engage as we are every day, morning and evening, hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then surely by this simple process, in our sincere endeavor, we will achieve the desired result. So, please, if you could unmute at this time, give me 1 second to go back and unmute from pre-conferencing. Okay, so everybody in pre-conferencing, you're unmuted now. You can mute yourselves again by pressing *6. Anyone who's on Skype, go ahead and unmute yourselves. So please, Prabhu, if you have any questions or comments, or anything to add, I mean, please go ahead.
Did you just do that class just spontaneously, Ramananda? I noticed Gandhari Didi was scheduled.
Yeah, I think I got a reaction because I popped it on you last night, so then she popped me this morning.
You did a great job.
That was
great.
No, very good.
Or not.
Yeah, that was good. I like it. What was that church you mentioned at the beginning?
Oh, Word of Life? You never heard of the Word of Life? They're here on the Big Island.
And they were on Kona side?
Yeah, there's one in Hilo then. I know they're around, but they're real big on Oahu.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. This was on Oahu. You went to the church where the main guy...
Yeah, it's where they have their main place.
Okay.
Big place. And I mean, I can't find too much fault with them. I mean, they were preaching from the Bible. It's not like anything you said was bad, but it was just not very inspiring. I mean, what the people really got off on was the trick. And also, he really stressed that if you give a donation, that's what the devotee told me to go see and how they collect their donations, because they are wildly successful. Anyway, what they do, they really stress if you give a donation, then you'll get much, much back in return. And that most of it was about how they were making a lot of money. That's the Christianity in general nowadays, you see. You know, it's that material type of piety. You have a nice family life, and you'll make a lot of money and, you know, all that stuff. So, but, yeah, they were all getting electrocuted.
That's interesting. You know, Muktananda was famous for Shaktipat. He gave initiation by touching the top of the head of the disciple, and the disciple was supposed to become enlightened by that contact with the guru. And I don't remember about the drama where the guru, you know, or disciple loses consciousness, but it sounds like, you know, the guru's giving away the results of his austerities or something.
And does anybody know who it is that Srila Prabhupada is referring to here? Is that Muktananda, or is it someone else?
It might be Muktananda, because he was, you know, that's the way they give initiation, is this Shaktipat. I don't know much about it. I from a distance, I heard about it. And once I brought a man to... Srila Shudamarsh was blessed, and he asked this man, he was a pious man, at Bengali, and he asked Maharaj for his blessings, and he leaned forward for Maharaj to touch or pat the top of his head, but Srila Shudamarsh didn't pat him on the head, but told this man, we give our blessings by spiritual instruction. That's our line. So, there's one last thing. The speaker and the listener, there's a dynamic. In the purport, it says, the effect of such a bona fide hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared by both the hearer and the chanter. Of course, both of them benefited. Of course, we know they attained perfection, Sugadev, by chanting the Bhagavatam, and Maharaj Parikshit by hearing the same. But there's a dynamic, and it's something that I became aware of in my own preaching. I notice, depending on the group or depending on who I'm listening, who I'm talking with, it either goes somewhere or it doesn't go anywhere. So if it doesn't go anywhere, I can understand that the person I'm talking to is not interested. Or the group, sometimes the group will draw something out. You know, and I feel that. And it's in the Madhya Lila, chapter 24, where Sanatana Goswami is telling Mahaprabhu about, you know, he'd heard something about this Atmarama verse that Mahaprabhu had explained in different ways to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It was actually the cause of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realizing finally the divinity of Lord Chaitanya. And so on the sixth verse, it goes, I have heard this wonderful story, and I am therefore very inquisitive to hear it again. If you would kindly repeat it, I would be very pleased to hear. Now, of course, I mean, we understand somebody like Suta Goswami is a shrutidhar. They can commit everything to memory. But here's how Lord Chaitanya replies. I am one madman, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is another. Therefore, he took my words to be the truth. The next verse. I do not recall what I spoke in that connection, but if something comes to my mind due to association with you, I shall explain it. So, and then the next verse. Generally, by myself, I cannot give an explanation. But by the strength of your association, something may manifest itself. And then he went on to explain the 11 words and in the end, 61 different meanings. separately and in various combinations of those 11 words in the Atmarama verse. But, you know, that's one place where you can find that, where Lord Chaitanya himself is saying, by your grace, Sanatan, by your association, something may come. So it's like that, you know, that somebody may draw something out of you, you know, by their desire, and Krishna wants to give them something.
Anybody hear me over there?
Sure.
Yeah, we can hear you.
What Prabhupada was referring to, the Shakti thing, you know, you got to remember Prabhupada was talking from another generation or two back, so he was really referring to Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. He specifically mentioned that. I mean, he would mention it many times, but he definitely would at least once or twice said that's who he was talking about.
Oh, okay.
That Ramakrishna gave Vivekananda his Shakti, and he said, no, I've given up. I don't have anything left.
Oh.
But, I mean, you know, Prabhupada didn't have too many good things to say about Ramakrishna or Vivekananda usually. I mean, all over Bengal, those guys are worshipped still by the Bengalis.
Right.
But Prabhupada wasn't afraid to blast. I mean, generally speaking, you know, we're warned not to say anything against them because there could be violent repercussions even now. So, but Prabhupada had no fear at all. He would just blast them, you know. He could get away with it. That's a real extreme, perfect example of how Prabhupada, you know, could get away with something we couldn't get away. Jai Pataka actually said something at a Rath Yatra. A huge amount of Bengalis in Calcutta at the end of the Rath Yatra. I wasn't there, but thankfully. And he knows good Bengali, and he was speaking strongly against Ramakrishna. I guess he felt emboldened or something, you know, but it was like almost a riot in Bhakti Charu. Well, he's a native Bengali. You see, if you're even white, you already lost out. You don't have, and even if you speak fluent Bengali, it's not going to help you. Because Bhakti Charu had to get up and quell the crowds. It was riots, you know, about to foment.
Huh.
I mean, so they're well respected. But gradually, you know, that's, in fact, in one conversation, Prabhupada said, due to Ramakrishna, the whole world has gone to hell, because he said, all of India follows Bengal, and in Bengal, they follow Ramakrishna, so then the whole world follows India. So, and due to this Mayavad philosophy that he put forward, this nonsense, yato ma tato pa, whatever you think, that's okay, you know. That's real hippie. I mean, Prabhupada wouldn't even call him Ramakrishna. He would call him Gadadhar Chatterjee. That was his regular name, you know. And then he gave himself the name Ramakrishna. He didn't want to, like, attach the words Rama and Krishna to him, I guess, but he said he became impotent by having too much sex, and then he used to call his wife as his mother, and he just couldn't have sex anyway. You know, Prabhupada never said anything good about Ramakrishna. And this is what he's the one attributed to, this Leela of the Shakti, you know.
Yeah, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati called Ramakrishna a Gunda and Vivekananda stupid. No, he called Vivekananda Gunda and Ramakrishna a stupid priest.
Right,
stupid. Actually, the fish eating in Bengal is blamed on them.
Well, Bhaktivinoda talks about a lot of fish eating in his autobiography before them, but, you know,
uh-huh.
You hardly find anybody who was even vegetarian, practically.
I see. Well, they say they
endorsed it anyway.
Like you said, they say they ruined Bengal. And like you said, the rest of India, because in Bengal is something like the intellectuals, or there's some very big leaders that have come from Bengal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Subhas Chandra Bose, I mean, he's Bengali. Aurobindo is Bengali. Rabindranath Tagore, you know, all these, you know, I mean, Subhas Chandra Bose, I mean, he's considered the father of modern India. I mean, more, you know, he's the one who really did the trick. Of course, Gandhi is not a Bengali, but there's so many people are Bengalis.
Right.
I mean, I don't usually see that they worship Ramakrishna too much out of Bengal, though. I mean,
I got this one from Govinda Maharaj. You know, there's a regiment in the National Army in India of every state in India except for Bengal. They don't have a regiment in the National Army, and you know why? because they don't listen to anybody.
I mean, it gives you a good idea that Lord Chaitanya left Bengal. You know? He said, I can't preach to these people, he told Nityananda, you preach to them.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I mean, come on. He, you know, think about it. He stayed in Puri. He stayed in Orissa. And he said, yeah, I can't go there. Well, I mean, it's a different context, you know, because he was staying in Puri. But, yeah, he left there anyway. He left there. That's all one thing we do know.
Well, I mean, so this was Ramakrishna himself, huh? The Vivekananda that gave him the shot.
Yeah, the original famous bogus guru group themselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, Prabhupada had written a part or an outline of a play that was a spoof called The Morgi Mission about the Ramakrishna mission, you know, yeah. And he told some of it or seen it written, but I don't know if he completed it. The basic part beginning was that a man is taking sannyas and his friends are saying, how can you do that? You know, what are you doing? You can't take sannyas. You even can't see your wife, your kids, and he might even turn you into a vegetarian. You don't know what will happen if you... And then it's called the Morgi. Morgi means chicken. The Morgi Mission, probably called
it. Chicken Mission, right.
He said, no, if I join the Morgi Mission, that's everything okay. I can eat whatever I want. I'll eat all kinds of chicken and fish, no problem.
Oh, really? So Prabhupada wrote that? He wrote
yeah,
it started
it was a
that kind of
cut. Thing. I'm not sure if he finished it. I'd done, you know, it'd probably be a real expert like Hari Shari might be able to say. An expert on Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what he did and said.
I have a couple of announcements to make. Just got reminders, actually. Tomorrow, Sureshwar is going to give the last in his series for his seminar workshop on Srila Prabhupada as our founder, Acharya. So please attend that. That's before we see him off for, I think he's led on the 7th of September he's leaving. So that will be the last class that he'll give. And then the next two Saturdays after that, Mother Urmila is going to give a seminar on how to give a class. I really am anxious to attend those myself because it's amazing how she can give every single class is better than the other, and how she organizes things and is able to present it in such a way that it really engages the audience. I don't have enough good things to say about her classes. So if she can pass on some tips, then that would be wonderful. There will be some handouts and homework assignments for that to actually try and apply these things to see how they work out. So that's 2 weeks. Then after that, Hari Dayananda Maharaj, I've spoken to him several times last week or so. He's going to deliver a seminar on the future of ISKCON for the next 20 years. So that should be interesting. It will be a simultaneous broadcast on both Ustream and Skype. So if you don't want to go through the trouble of trying to go through Ustream, you don't have to. You can just go on Skype or free conferencing as you are now. But otherwise, I have made a web page that announces the seminar. It gives some details about it. I'll put it in the chat for Skype, whoever's on Skype. And you can just go to that web page and the broadcasters for a Ustream will be there as well.
So you're saying there's nothing next week?
No, there is. Mother Urmila is going to get
next week,
for 2 weeks her seminar on how to...
You call it 2 weeks, but it's 8 days from now, all right? Okay.
Okay, 8 days from now. Just rounding off. And then after that, we have one devotee who hasn't confirmed, but he's probably going to do a 3-week seminar on the verse that I just quoted from the Bhagavatam. That's 325.25, Satam Prasangam on the Tiriya Sangvada, from the works of Sridhar Swami. So that was Dvijamani Prabhu, very scholarly devotee from Philadelphia, disciple of Ravindasaroop. So there's some things that are coming up. So any last comments or questions?
I'm also reminded that I went with Prabhupada to an old guy's house who was dying and in Calcutta in 74. And what happened was basically this. I remember this one barrister had come to the temple and Prabhupada was not there. He was in Mayapur or something. And he wanted to meet Prabhupada, but they tried to make him a life member, but he didn't join at the time. And then later he invited Prabhupada for breakfast. And I was surprised because he never became a life member, but Prabhupada was going to go there to his house, which was across Calcutta. And Calcutta is pretty big, you know. It took quite some time to get there. But so the two cars were sent by this fellow. He didn't come, but he sent two drivers, and his son was in one of the cars. And Prabhupada went in the car with the son, who was about 10, 11 years old, 11 maybe. And there was extra room. So I went there with, at the time, all these big kirtan, bhajan guys were there. It was Dinanath, Vishnu Dutt, Rick Saraj, Dira Krishna, like that. And so they went there to do bhajan for this. So when we got there, the sun was like a three-story house. But I mean, each floor wasn't very big. But, you know, for Calcutta, the guy had some money. He was a lawyer. And so anyway, we get there, and this kid blows a conch shell, and then we all go up the stairs, the top floor, and this attorney, this lawyer, his father was dying, you know, and he was in bed in this room. And on the wall was a picture of Ram Krishna and Vivekananda, of course. So, I mean, I don't really know hardly any Bengali, but Prabhupada introduced, he asked him how old he was. Apparently, he was the same age as Prabhupada, but he didn't have long to go. He was barely, you know, making it. He probably would be gone in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And so Prabhupada said, yeah, how old are you? Okay, he said, I'm the same age. And then he just proceeded immediately to cut down Ram Krishna Vivekananda, bogus, yato matatopat, you know. I mean, I could get an idea what Prabhupada was saying. He didn't spare this guy who was dying, you know, telling him that these guys were totally nonsense and they destroyed, you know, Indian culture. And so, but it was an interesting little engagement there because, so after that, well, either we had this good bhajan. I mean, Achyutananda might have even been there, yeah. Had all these guys, Achyutananda, all these guys, a great bhajan. That guy got benefited and he had Prabhupada in his house, you know, it was pretty amazing. Then we went downstairs after Prabhupada talked to the old man. And this man, the son, not the 11-year-old, but he's the grandson, but the lawyer, he had bought some stuff from the store, which I was surprised. You invite Prabhupada to your house, but you buy stuff from the store, you know. But he had like misty dahi in little cups, and he had a box with some sweet sandesh and some samosas he had bought. Apparently, it turned out when Prabhupada was driving back with the grandson, he said that, yeah, he probably asked him, do you eat fish in your house? And he said, yeah, you know, I don't really like it, but they eat fish in my house, like that. So this guy, I guess he knew because he was a fish eater that he bought stuff outside and he didn't make it himself. But so anyway, we didn't really know he was a fish eater at the time. I was just surprised to see this stuff there, and we were wondering if Prabhupada was going to eat this stuff from the store. And first thing Prabhupada said, he said, this quarter, I mean this quarter of Calcutta is famous, he said, for misty dahi, you know, because every part of Calcutta there, there's groups of shops, you know, and they specialize in particular things, you know. So anyway, he took the misty dahi and he took a little bit of samosa, Prabhupada, and a little bite of a sweet. So then we ate Prabhupada's remnants and we ate ours, of course. We figured, well, it's cool, Prabhupada's eating it. And then Brahmananda was there. He was commandeering the whole thing. And then we went back to the temple. It was interesting.
Huh.
Shri Chakurdi was there because I remember him mentioning, you know, that Prabhupada had asked this boy if they ate fish in his house. So in retrospect, it may be because that's why the guy bought stuff in the store, you know. I mean, all the sweets used to be bought in the store in those days, Calcutta, even at the temple. But not samosas.
Kathy Das is famous. Yeah. He's the one that originated the rasgulla.
The canned rasgulla.
And the the morning, what they make in the morning is offered in the temple.
Oh, well, I don't know. He didn't invent rasgulla. I mean, he invented mass marketing of them.
No, he actually came up with it.
Really?
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Well, in any case, the temple, there was a sweet shop nearby the Calcutta temple where they would buy a lot of sweets. It had loads of sweets. You'd go, you'd look at, you'd be bewildered to be like hundreds of Bengalis are, you know, they're famous for milk sweets.
Mm-hmm. Prabhu, we better, because right. It's getting a little bit late.
Okay.
But all thank right. you, Prabhu, very much for your ardent listening. And we'll see everybody hopefully tomorrow or tonight. We have teachings from Lord Chaitanya if you want to listen in. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hi. Hi.